Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I'm so glad that you made the decision for yourself and for your business to join us today for what we have to share. As the name suggests, our listeners are business creators. They fall into one of several different categories, or one or more of several different categories. I get so excited about this, particularly about today's topic. The first category, we have our entrepreneurs, small business owners, and local business owners. Then we have marketing and business coaches. Then we have folks who help others build their businesses, those who love to work with others to help them win at the game of business and marketing. And on the other side of the coin, we have the do-it-yourselfers, those of you who love to keep your own hands on the marketing levers and grow your business. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment. Explore our episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and discover how our experts can help you win at the game of business and marketing. Check us out on iTunes. Do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us spread the message. And is updated weekly, every week, on iTunes. Another episode of the Business Creators Radio Show is posted. Now, here at my company, Help My Website Sell, and also through the teachings of the Business Creators Institute, we do a fair amount of work with product launches and product design and development and helping you craft your offer. So, for these reasons and several more, I have been looking for a long time to bring somebody on for 2015 to give us all the latest and greatest on creating products that sell. The issue is anybody can create a product, and there are hundreds of thousands of them available. It's barely 9 a.m. Pacific here in Las Vegas, and I think I've already received 5 different emails for products that are currently being launched. Now, to create a product that truly converts into sales takes effort and know-how. You really can't just slap it together and throw it out there. We are way past those days. For this reason, I'm very happy to have with us Rachel Rofay, an expert in internet marketing and product creation. And just to tell you a little bit about Rachel, she's a multiple best-selling author who's been featured in Entrepreneur, Woman's World, Huffington Post, CNN, and Fox News. Since she began internet marketing in 2006, right around the time I got involved, she's developed over 30 products, 40 Kindle books, and bought and sold companies with as many as 120 employees. She's designed her life to have as much ease as possible and lives the true internet lifestyle, traveling and speaking worldwide. In fact, this is probably going to be the very first episode of Business Creators Radio Show where our guest dials in while jogging. Rachel, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Yes, this is going to be one for the books, absolutely. And I myself love the beautiful Las Vegas weather. I plan to spend some time in it after we finish up here this morning. So what I'd like to do is we have a lot of things to cover with respect to product creation and creating products that sell. Before we do that, though, before we dive in, let's take a quick step back and give those of our listeners who may not have yet heard of you a chance to get to know you a little. So tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to where you are today. I mean, I read off your official bio, but just kind of tell us how it all happened.
Sure. So basically, before I was doing internet marketing, I was in retail. I actually started off as a cashier at Walmart, and I was just working there for a while, and then I worked my way up to management, and then I was a manager over at Target. And it was basically, I was working 60 to 80 hours a week because I was a salaried manager working 36-hour shifts and going to school full-time. And the scenario was basically I would sit in my office with the other managers and we would just talk about how much we hated our lives. And I never thought I'd be able to raise a family or anything because retail is just crazy, very demanding. So I actually came across one of these ebooks on Craigslist, which is like, make $1 million in your underwear while you're sleeping. And so basically the premise of the ebook was promote this ebook and you'll get an affiliate commission. And so I did that. Not something that I would do now, not something I'm proud of or necessarily sustainable, but back in 2006 I did it. I was making between $500 to $800 a day from my very first day for months.
Right.
And it basically allowed me to quit my job. And so since then I have done so many different types of things. So I have done a lot of affiliate marketing.
Pardon me, Rachel? Rachel?
Yeah, I had
something pop on my screen it wasn't supposed to. So can you pause for 5 seconds and then and then go back about 30 seconds and pick up with a sentence somewhere?
Sure.
I'm so sorry about that.
No problem. Okay. So, ready?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, since I started with that product, I've done a lot of affiliate marketing and creating my own products. And you mentioned I had a company with 120 employees. I think you said that. It's usually in the official bio. But
right.
Copywriter. I just tried a whole bunch of different things, and it's been great.
Fantastic. And that is a really great story. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that in terms of starting from a place where you know that you have so much more to offer and so much more to contribute. And there are those of us who continue to sit around and just complain about how we hate our jobs, and those of us who go out there and make a difference in the world, whether it's at our current job, whether we go and start our own company, but whatever it is, we go make a difference and we start making things happen. Personally, I try and avoid people on Sunday, and I'll tell you the reason why that is, because I really don't want to hear people complaining about the fact that it's Sunday and they have to go back to the grind again on Monday. I just don't have the space for it, because I'm spending my Sunday in quiet contemplation thinking about all the great things I'm going to do all week. That's just me.
Totally.
Right, right. Now, here on the Business Creators Radio Show, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. A lot of our listeners tell me they have everything except time and money. And this is a question we ask every expert who appears on our show. And what I like about it is not only the variety of different answers, but also the variety of different ways the question is interpreted. So how can time and money get in the way of creating products to sell?
Usually you need one or the other in order to create products. I mean, if you don't have time, you pay the money. If you don't have the money, you spend the time. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that I could go and find exceptions to how you can be successful without either of those things. But I'd rather just pretty much put my attention on people that are willing to give one of those if they really are really wanting to do well with product creation.
Right. Right. So let's say somebody comes to us and they say, you know, I'd love to create a product, but I just don't have the time to do it, and I don't have the funds to create a product. Is it possible to create a product even when we don't have a lot of time and money available to you right now?
So, yes. I mean, would I want to work with that person? I don't take many coaching clients, but would I, like, consider that an ideal coaching client? No.
Right.
But is it possible? Yeah. I mean, I have 40 different books, as you mentioned, and one of the ways that I've created books was I went and I posted ads on Craigslist and forums and things, and I looked for people to submit chapters to different books. And so they were happy to do that because they got the ability to go and be in a book, which people think is a really big deal. And I got a bunch of content, and then those people all shared the content for me. So I had a great book with an audience of people going and sharing it on my behalf. So, yes, it's possible. There's ways. There's exceptions. But it's not the norm.
Right. I certainly love the way you answered this question, because you pointed out something that is right in front of so many people's faces all the time, and they just totally miss it. I have seen many people myself, in my own world, I've seen people sit down and think, okay, well, I got to create this product. I got to start recording the modules. I got to make the PowerPoints, and I got to do all this other stuff. And what you and I both know is you don't necessarily have to do it that way. And you gave us one example of a way to get a product done where not only do you not have to do all that work, so to speak, but you actually get a lot of people to do most of the work for you. And I really like that. So if you could tell me, Rachel, are products still alive? Because maybe it's just some of the people that I run into and some things we've heard from some of the listeners on Business Creators Radio Show. But I'm seeing in some places there's this trend of the price of courses steadily declining, products actually being taken off shelves. I've seen two people in the past week just simply shut down their online stores and not sell their products anymore. And more a skepticism on the part of the buyers. Have you seen any of this? I mean, how accurate is this perception in this day and age?
In my experience, it's not accurate at all. I actually just launched a product January 16th was the launch day, and January 22nd was when we closed the early bird pricing, and it sold well over 500 copies there. And it was like a topic that wasn't super sexy. I mean, I've had lunches and I've done way better than that, but I mean, just 500 plus alone is great. I just released a book earlier this month that got downloaded in 5 days 6,364 times. So
wow.
No, I don't agree with that.
I didn't think so, because I don't agree with it either. But there are people out there saying it. So what would you say to someone along those lines who just doesn't quite believe it? Because you just gave me some very interesting statistics about your recent launch and how you sold all 500 copies during the early bird and the downloads of your book and everything else. And there are those who say, well, that's a bunch of BS. I don't really think those guys do that. I think they're lucky if they sell 15 copies.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's different people. So I have a friend who, when I told her about information products, she didn't really like it because her traditional model has been service-based stuff. And so, of course, like for her, it's harder to sell information products because the people that she knows, she doesn't really have affiliates that can promote it. She doesn't know a ton about copywriting, and she's just not used to that model. So for people who are having trouble with that, I would say, look at just what you've primed your audience for, look at your affiliates, look at your copy, and make sure that you've created products that people actually want. I think a big thing is when people create products because they think it's like the next big thing, or they think that it's what people want, but it's not always. So in my experience, any time that I've listened to my customers and created something that they actually wanted, it's done well, because why wouldn't it, right?
Right, exactly. And I also think, in my own personal experience, you have to make your own definition of what performed well is. We had a client that really wanted to sell 15 copies, or 15 accesses, rather, to a live training they were doing. So we did the product launch sequence, and they sold 14 out of 15 within the first 24 hours of a five-day launch cycle. They ended up going ultimately into the 20s because they opened up a few extra spots. Because there was so much personal interaction between my clients and the people in the course, he wanted to limit the number of people that are in there. But this was a high ticket item. This was not your $97 collection of five videos. This is a very detailed, very high ticket course. And the revenues from this course were enough to push him over his 2014 numbers. It's one of the best testimonials I've ever gotten.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, and this is from somebody. Thank you. This is from somebody who up until that point wasn't really quite sure that sending out a whole bunch of emails to your list and doing a product launch sequence was really the way to get people to buy. They were under the belief that if you have 30 years or 25 years or what have you of credibility and thought leadership in your market, that just sending out a couple emails saying your course is available should do it. But it was that going through that product launch sequence, it really brought it to the fore. I was expecting, by my own projections, I knew it was going to sell out myself. I expected that all 15 seats would fill. And my original projections were 9 would go on the first day, a couple would trickle in, and it would sell out on the last day. But meanwhile, we did 14 out of 15 in the first 22 hours. So even beat my expectations, and we ended up overselling it. So it is very possible. And I just love every time that I see somebody who's a little bit skeptical about this, is skeptical about product creation, and they become believers. And I'm so glad to have you here today to help us create more believers. So you're ready for the next piece of this?
Let's go.
You mentioned a friend of yours who is primarily in a service-based business and originally looked at this whole product thing and thought, I don't know. Now, I run into many business creators who see product creation and product launches as a surefire way to add recurring and passive revenue to their service business so they can serve the masses and stay picky about who they work with in their consulting practices. Is this always a good idea?
So I don't generally like anything that says always. I don't really like any kind of hard and fast rules.
Right.
What I would say is, sure, it can be a good idea, but I think it depends where you are in your business. So I tell people the fastest way to earn income, in my experience, is offering some kind of a service. So if you need to create fast income, or you're not at a set point where you have your income good to go, then I would recommend doing the services first, creating a base of stability, and then introducing products.
Okay.
Now, if you have that, and then you introduce products, then I think it can be a phenomenal way. I don't do services very often at all. Most of my income, like 95% of my income, is just through selling information products. And I love it because personally when I do coaching, like I always end up loving it, but I always get so nervous leading up to it because I want to make sure I do a good job for people, and it just stresses me out. So I love having this information business where I travel all the time. I have a very free life, and it's like it's a one-to-many. So when the time comes, I think it's great.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out for those of our listeners that are just tuning in, we have Rachel Rofay, who is calling in from her daily jog. This is the first time I think we've ever had a guest on the Business Creators Radio Show give us their brilliance while jogging. So if there's anybody who's nailed the whole lifestyle thing, it's you. I love this. I love this. I'm beside myself with how cool and how awesome that is. So,
oh, thank you. Walking. I should say walking. Definitely not jogging. I'm not that talented, but...
Oh man,
yeah,
I was trying to throw some extra props on top. But hey, if you want to play straight, that's fine too. All right. Now, there's so many products out there you can launch. How do you determine the best kind to sell? Best type to launch to your list?
You just ask your list what they want, and if you don't have a list, then you ask on forums or groups of people that are in the audience that you want to serve. So that could be quick polls. It could be surveys. So you might want to say, like, here's a couple, like, mention a couple of different things that, you know, that people struggle with. And how do you know what people struggle with? Well, you ask them. So it could be you have a couple conversations with people in your field, and you ask them, like, what keeps you up at night, or what stresses you out, or what's your biggest problem around whatever you're in. And then, or you look at forums, and you can just search by the threads that have the most views, because that's something that's really interesting to people. So then you can survey people and say, here's a couple things, like, are any of these things that you'd really like to get help with? And then also ask them, like, would you be willing to pay for this, yes or no? And if so, how much would you be willing to pay for this? Because people will tell you up front what they want and if they're going to pay for it. And if you don't have demand for something, then you definitely, like, don't bother getting started.
Right. I want to highlight something here, because you talked about going into forums and going into discussion groups on Facebook and LinkedIn. As I seem to recall, we actually met inside a discussion group on Facebook originally. That's where we originally connected, and that's where we originally saw your name. So that's a function of discussion group game, where we have people I meet in discussion groups come on the Business Creators Radio Show. I happen to know for a fact that there are some discussion groups out there, some that you may even belong to, because your name pops up all the time. You're very active in that area, where if you post questions like that as discussion thread starters, the moderators will take it down if they don't, like, throw you out of the group. The view on that is, by doing market research inside their group, basically what you're doing is poaching their people so that they will buy your stuff. So what are some, if you know of any somewhat covert ways to get the same information? You mentioned one I thought was brilliant, which is use the search function and find out what some of the hot topics are. So you just kind of find out what people have already said they want.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like to do market research in groups, partly for that reason, but also I'd rather just ask my people, like my list and stuff. So if you have a list, ask the list, or you can go on forums. You could also just say, like, I'd love to talk with a couple people one-on-one to get your opinions on things. Maybe they just do it out of the kindness of the heart. Maybe you offer a $25 gift card for a 15-minute conversation. But if you have your questions prepared ahead of time, then you can really glean a lot of information in 15 minutes.
Right. I think that's all very cool. Another suggestion I have for folks is to launch a podcast, because you'll find out pretty quickly just through what your guests share with you and what your audience shares in terms of feedback, what's on their minds. You'll start to see the trends. There are so many different ways you can go about getting this research. You really just have to keep your eyes open. So what about...
Yeah, that's actually... I was going to say real quick, that's actually a great point. I launched a podcast in August, and one of the things that I love to do is I'll just sort out, my episodes get an average anywhere between 1,500 to 5,000 downloads per episode, so I'll
right.
just sort, and I'll see which ones have the most downloads, and what are the titles that people are clicking on the most. And so the ones closer to 5,000 are ones that I pay way more attention to, and I know to give people more. Well, and then also I also know the ones that are lower towards the 1,500 not to do more of those.
Right, right. We do the same thing with the Business Creators Radio Show, as a matter of fact, because if you go through the archive of all of the guests we've had and you look at all the topics we've had, you'll see that certain topics do tend to recur. It's because, and part of that is because we are very fortunate to get the outstanding caliber of people to share with us. It's also partially because we notice that some topics trend better than others. We want to test certain topics to see how they trend. So using the analytics that are right in front of you, sometimes people will tell you what they want just by showing up or not showing up. We also see it reflected in our open rates when we send out the emails to promote our Business Creators Radio Show episodes. We get some clues right there in terms of what people are biting down on.
Great. Awesome.
Yes. So what about pricing? See, Rachel, if I had a dollar for everyone who put themselves through the internal struggle on how much should I charge for my products? You know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I could just round all those people up and give them a share of my proceeds and we'd all retire rich.
So how do you price your product? Well, I mean, there's so many different answers to it. So one of the things can be you ask your audience, like, what's they're willing to pay. You could also look at if there are similar products in the market, what those people charged and were they able to earn it. So obviously you want to charge things that people are actively paying. Or you could just, what I personally like to do is I'll start off all my products at a pretty low price because I like to get testimonials and feedback, and then I'll raise it. So I just launched a course called Podcast Strategy. It's all about podcasting. And
yeah.
So for the first week, I just had a very inexpensive rate of only $37. And we got a ton of different of buyers, right? But then after that, I'm going to have a bunch of testimonials, and I just raised the price to $97, and already we're getting some buyers there. And eventually it'll be like a $297 course because I'm going to take the feedback that people say, I'm going to add that into the course, make it even better, add some more things. So personally, I love starting low and then building up.
Yes, and it's funny you should mention Podcast Prodigy because I've already seen that course. In fact, I had it open on my tabs here just about an hour before we brought you into the Business Creators Radio Show. It's a really good course, and I love the way you put together your sales piece, and it tells a really great story, and it makes it pretty clear for folks how they can use this whole system. So Podcast Prodigy, I think, is pretty good. And there are a lot of people out there who are very interested in podcasting and starting their own podcast, and they're looking for somebody to demystify that for them. So I commend you on a very good product offering.
Thank you very much.
Right, right. Now, what about audio-based products with webinars and Google Hangouts and this and that and the other thing that involves video, Show Your Face, do Camtasia and everything else? Do audio-based products still have a space for them in the market?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have many audio products myself, but I know there's a program called Live More, Way Less. It's a $2,000 program, and I looked inside of it, and it's all SoundCloud audio. And I think her last launch was like $750,000 or something. So, absolutely.
Wow. What was it? What was this again? Did the $750,000 launch, and it was just all audio products on SoundCloud?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did $750,000. I guess don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure. But it's called Live More, Way Less. And
Live More, Way Less. Okay.
Yeah, it's by this woman named Sarah Jenks, and it's basically teaching that the way to lose weight is instead of like obsessing over what you're eating, just go out and actually live a full life, and you won't need to rely on food so much.
Wow. That is something right there, because I can think right off the top of my head of people I know who have audio products just sitting there that could be productized and monetized, but we just don't see them moving forward because they themselves have said to me that they don't think it'll sell or it doesn't have much value because it's audio, not video. And while we're on this topic, I'd like to ask something related. I have seen coaches out there who will tell their coaching clients to price their products, if we can go back to pricing for a moment, based on how many components the physical version has. For example, I saw somebody get told once that because their product has three DVD, I'm going to make this up because I can't remember the exact stats, but something like, if your product has three DVDs, two audio CDs, and a workbook, it should be $497. If you have seven DVDs, you should raise it to $797. I mean, this is really the level of thinking behind pricing. Have you ever seen that before?
It's so not anything that I subscribe to. I may have, but I'd probably quickly dismiss it. I mean, I get it. Like, I get that people want to have formulas. They want to have things to make it easier because pricing can feel really arbitrary. I think probably a better way to go would be what's the ROI that people can get from this. So I'm glad we're talking about this more because I forgot to mention this. But I like to make sure that anything that I charge, people could earn 10 to 100 times back what they're paying.
Right.
So I think if you go that kind of route, then that's way better. And a realistic 10 to 100. So not like, you know, the people with the pixie dust that, like, in a far-off land could do it. But the average person, if they implement what I say, they could do 10 to 100 times return investment or some kind of return on whatever they're – so maybe it's not like a business product, but even if it's – so in the example of live more, weigh less, if they can feel maybe it's maybe losing weight, maybe it's feeling better, whatever, like, she's selling, whatever the benefits, if they can actively feel those, then that's how you base the price.
Right, right. For instance, so if I wanted to, my cat's here and she's giving me the stare of death because she wants her cuddles now that I'm actually busy doing business stuff here. So if I wanted to get her 100% return on investment, I would only have to sell something for $100 because can of fancy feast is $1. So, that would give her 100% return on investment right there. So that's halfway facetious, but I like how you're thinking here. Realistically, and ethically, what could be a 100 times return on investment for whatever dollar amount that is? So if you realistically believe that a person could go out there and make $10,000, then you could easily charge $100 for that with no problem.
Yeah.
If I'm getting my math right here. In fact, let me do the math here. 10,000 divided by 100. Yep, $100. That's right. I guess you got the math right off the top of my head, probably the first time from grade school. So, all right. So another thing I'd like to circle back to is a moment ago I was mentioning, you know, counting the number of physical pieces inside your product to determine price, and I'm glad you showed us another way to consider that. Now, what I want to ask you is, what do you think could work better, or what's the criteria for figuring out the answer to this, between selling products physically, like printing things out and putting them in the mail, versus having them available as an instant access download?
You know, I think a lot of it is just ask your customers what they actually want. I personally don't really have many physical products. I've offered like one or two. Most of my products are instant. And I know that a lot of people like to do the physical products because they reduce the refund rate, because you make people jump through these hoops to return them and all this stuff. But I like to think in terms of thinking about my customer and thinking about what's really going to serve them the most and what's going to help them. So my customer, they want immediate access to everything.
Right.
And they want to be able to get going. So that's why I do the instant, because it's always in service of what's best for the customer. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can do, like, add-on physical things. I know people who do masterminds, and then they'll send little presents, like journals and candles and stuff, so everyone can feel together.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's really great. I love doing things like that. I love sending little presents whenever I do, like, have coaching clients and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff is great. I'm trying to think. I think especially in this day and age, most people prefer the instant. There might be some markets where there's older crowds or, you know, some specific things where people prefer the physical. But overall, I think instant is where most people are.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. I can think of a couple of my clients in particular who, within the past 5 years, have made the transition from physical products to all digital products. On the front end, they've put thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fulfillment costs right back in their pockets and were able to sell the products for the exact same price as before, because the value of the material did not change one iota. It's still the exact same teaching. We're just now talking about a digital product and the delivery method instead of it being on a bunch of discs that the person then has to wait for. So they managed to cut down their logistical costs and get it to the customer faster. And in both of these cases I'm thinking of, the refund rates didn't really go up.
Well, then,
maybe by a point or two. But when you think about all the cost savings, it was actually a very positive trade-off. Now, one client in particular, they're still to this day, even though they made the transition 5 years ago, and I checked the calendar, it was 5 years ago, still get folks who will buy the product online, create their username and password. You can go into the membership site and look at the stats that show the person sat there for 12 hours. And then 3 weeks later, they come back and they say, I never got access to this product. I've been waiting for 3 weeks. I'd like to get started. Where are my DVDs?
Yep. Yeah, you're definitely going to get some of those.
Right. I mean, it's like you don't know whether you want to pull your own hair out, you want to pull their hair out, or you just want to laugh at them or with them or what have you. But what I tell people in that situation is have compassion, because maybe they read too fast that day.
Yeah, you know, I've had crazy refund requests for things like that. I've had requests for someone bought my product and then said they realized they spent too much money this week and can they have a refund?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crazy things. Yeah, and so you know what my kind of, I guess, mindset is, whenever I get one of those, I just look at it through the eyes of an angel, and it really helps me. So what would an angel say about this? And that quick little thing takes away any annoyance, any frustration, just like pure compassion, pure love.
Right. You know, of all the courses I've ever done online and any products I've sold, I've only ever had one refund request ever. And it was that exact same type of thing. The person had just overspent on their credit cards, and now they were facing the statement. And I could read between the lines, between all the verbiage about how, having explored the material, they decided it wasn't a right fit for them, blah, 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 blah. But I saw three mentions of money. So we tried a tactic that we know how to use where we can sort of save the order by changing that conversation around. It works most of the time. However, if it is truly a matter of money, that's going to manifest itself. So we tried that, and in the end they just said, really, I just don't have the money. I hope you understand. And we just gave them the money back. I mean, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, 95 to 99% of people will not pull a move like, I'm going to buy this, download this, and then ask for a refund anyway. In fact, in all the years I've been working with my clients through digital product fulfillment, I have only seen one case where the person came right out and said, oh, you mean I can't have a refund even if I like the product? And they said, my client's customer service manager said to them, it's like, ha, nice try. Our refund policy no longer applies to you. So from now on, all sales final. Got it? Yeah. The people will, and you're going to find that 3 to 5%, and I think, and this is a little bit of a segue we were originally planning on, but I think people run into this with their products. And worries about refunds and satisfaction. What would you say, in your experience with yourself and so many of your clients, is a respectable refund rate? So, if there's a certain dollar amount, generally speaking, that as long as we're below this certain percentage of refunds, we're good.
Oh gosh, I mean, in my industry, there's so much. Like in the internet marketing, I've seen people 20%, 40%. For me, I like. 5% and lower. Usually I have around 2%. But when you have a higher end product, like 997 and upwards, it's very common, like 10% or less is considered good.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. I've also heard it said that if your refund rate is too low, that could also mean your prices are too low. I've heard that one as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So what do you think about payment plans? I've seen, this is another debate I see out there, whether you should offer people a payment plan on your products. I mean, I can see from a conversions perspective how it can help, but overall, what are your impressions on, like, let's say a product is priced at $9.97, so we offer them a 3 payment plan.
See, I can go both ways with this, because you know, on the one hand, payment plans really help people out. On the other hand, I don't really like selling 9-inch products to people. Like, if it's going to put them in debt or it's going to be a big problem for them, you know?
Right.
I just don't like that sense of responsibility around it. So I will, I mean, I've done both. Usually I will offer the full price. Yeah, they'll have that. And then maybe the last day for people, I'll offer the split pay option, but I first try to do the full price.
Uh-huh.
That's usually how I go about it, yeah.
So let me just repeat this back. You'll lead with the full pay or the pay in full. You don't want to say pay in full because through phonological ambiguity, that sounds like painful. We don't want to hurt our people. So this is also something I teach all the time. Whenever I see sales copy that has the phrase pay in full, it's like I reach for my own hair and want to rip it out. How can you promise people pain? I mean, unless they're into that sort of thing. Come on. I mean, that's crazy. So you switch that to full pay or single pay or something along those lines, and you're fine. That's just a little segue there I wanted to go down for our listeners. But what you're saying is you'll lead with the single pay or the full pay, and then maybe on the last day of your launch before doors close, you'll come out with a three-pay option to sort of pick up anybody who may be ready to move forward with this, but maybe they're just a little bit of price resistance or a little bit of reluctance to put the whole $1,000 on their credit card just now.
Exactly, exactly. And that has to be planned in advance because your affiliates need to be on board and sometimes, like, if you can't add it last minute if affiliates don't know about it because they may be projecting a certain amount of sales or something. But if you have it in advance in the sequence, it can be great.
Okay. This is another thing I want to get into is how to get your affiliates to actually help you promote your stuff. I have seen across the board, every affiliate program that I've ever logged into and looked at the statistics, I've seen about 1% of the affiliates do 100% of the promotion work. And I have seen several information marketers just get totally down on affiliate programs because it feels like everybody and their second cousin's former roommate wants an affiliate link to say, yeah, man, I'll promote your stuff. And then crickets.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple answers to that. So one thing is just educating your affiliates and telling them how to best promote your product. I think the easier you make it for people to promote you, the more apt they are going to be. So for example, with my last launch, I had I had swipe copy so that people could just copy it or, you know, adapt it for their email list, put it into their voice. I told people I would be more than happy to jump on any interview or webinar that they wanted if they wanted to talk to their list.
Right.
If they wanted me to help create emails for their specific list and their specific voice, no problem. I had a listing on the JV page of like 10 different ways to get more sales. I told them how to structure their campaign, when we're going to get the most amount of sales. That was all really helpful. I had a contest for affiliates, so the people who ended up making the most sales got cash rewards. And then I emailed my affiliates, and it was just kind of, you know, playful competition, which is really helpful. So I think that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is, you know, a lot of times I was just on another interview with somebody and we were talking about how this guy does a lot of book writing and he'll say that people will send him books and will basically say, can you read this and give me your feedback? And they're basically asking for hours of this guy's time without having any kind of established anything. And so I think the way better way to go about it would be do things for the other people first. So create relationships, maybe promote their products if you like them. Anything you can offer. When I first got started out and I wanted people to promote me, I looked at what kind of services can I offer to these people to even consider promoting me. And so I was writing free sales letters because I was a copywriter. I was writing articles. I did all kinds of things to provide value first.
Okay, so by giving, you got in return.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, with my particular industry, I was doing a lot with the Kindle. I was doing a lot of Kindle marketing. And so there were a lot of affiliates in my space who were promoting Kindle products that I didn't really think were high quality, and I didn't want to promote them to my list. And so I didn't. And there were certain people that were fine with it and certain people that said, you know, if you don't want to promote my stuff, I don't want to promote you basically anymore, which I was totally fine with too. I don't really like the law of reciprocity. But Just be prepared that if you're not willing to do anything for anybody, it could be that like you might have a spectacular product that people just naturally want to promote. And luckily, I've had some like that where I have people promoting over and over just because they like my products. They don't expect anything.
Right.
But if you're not willing to do anything for other people, then just be prepared to get traffic yourself sometimes. And I personally was more than okay with that because I didn't want to compromise, you know, mailing anything crappy to my list.
Right. Right, I can appreciate that. So, because you know, what we see is, you know, again, we're out just looking for some techniques on how to get your affiliates to actually engage, and you gave us some fantastic feedback on that. Because so many affiliate programs out there will have 1,000 affiliates, and they'll have maybe 2 affiliates that are actually out there bringing in the sales and bringing in the referrals. And it gets people down on affiliate programs. And what I've seen some people do is they will put some requirements on their affiliates. And what I mean by that is if you want to remain a member of my affiliate program, I need to see that you promote me X number of times a year and copy me on it so I can see you did it.
Jeez, I would not want to be that person's affiliate.
Okay, what I've seen happen with this person is they actually have, by doing so, increased the value of their affiliate program. It's actually bringing in more money because it really isolated the 3 or 4 people that raised their hand and said, "I really want to support you." And again, you know, affiliate programs are things that some people really want to do, and there are things that others maybe they just don't really feel that that's a great way to grow their business. Now, do you think affiliate programs are essential for launching your products and creating products and selling them?
No, absolutely not, especially if you know how to get traffic yourself or you just have a really phenomenal product that people want to start to naturally share. So I think that having an affiliate program will make things easier for you. Yes, totally. But you don't need it.
Okay. So for those of us who are listening today who just really don't want to get involved in affiliate programs, it is possible to do a launch without affiliates, but you have to have all these other things lined up in order to do it. So here's another one of my favorite questions, Rachel, and this is something I'd love to get your thoughts on because this is something that we talk about all the time here at HelpMyWebsiteSell.com. Let's say that you have a list. You've gone out, you've gotten the subscribers, and you have this. You log into your shopping cart or your email marketing system, you see this nice big list. Now, this list is not particularly used to seeing offers from you. They are used to seeing your e-zine, your blog posts, the updates about your next podcast, a lot of free stuff, basically. So as long as you keep pouring on the free stuff, man, they love you. They write back to you. They tell you how awesome your latest blog post is and how much they learned from it, and they tell all their friends about how they just love being on your list. But the moment you have the temerity to ask them to give you money to buy a course, suddenly you're just another sleazy salesperson. How do we avoid that? And how do we turn that around? So if a person has been in a situation where they have a list that's conditioned to receiving free stuff, how do we transition them in a nice way so they're ready to start plunking down the cash?
So I don't think it's avoidable. I think you're still going to get people to write in and complain, but I do think it's, you know, manageable. So some of the things would be just letting people know, you know, I've been giving you free content for X amount of time, and I get great comments on it all the time, and I love doing it. And, you know, in order to continue doing this, I need to find a way to make it financially sustainable. And so that's why I'm offering these types of things. You could also let people know in advance that you need to do that, and then survey them on what they would like to see or how they can or how you can help them more. Because in this way, not only well, they understand that they're part of the process now, and so they're invested in it, and they understand better. So that's one great way to be able to transition with them feeling like they've come along for the ride. It's not coming out of nowhere.
Right.
The other thing is, like, I was just interviewing somebody from my podcast, Prodigy Course, and she was saying, her name is Michelle Evans, and she has a podcast called Breaking Free. And she said for her first 12 episodes, she didn't mention anything that she sold or anything. It was just free content. And then from episode 12 on, she mentioned her coaching program, and she said that people wrote to her and said, I had no idea that you even offered anything. I would love to buy something from you. So there's also going to be people that say that too. So I think just look at it from both ways, and don't let the the negative comments that come in because they're inevitable. Just don't let them. I mean, we're naturally predisposed to weigh more with the negativity, but just really try and look at it with as much objectivity as possible. And
yeah.
It might also be like you have your virtual assistant or somebody else screen the comments for you so that you don't have to see them, unless they're actually really helpful. And maybe you get a Word document once a day or something.
Right. That's another way of looking at it, too, because the fact is if you're in any form of, especially email marketing, you are occasionally going to have some kind of keyboard warrior who decides they're going to unleash all kinds of venom on them. And I actually don't mind seeing the comments because they're usually a reflection on the person typing them.
Yeah.
And again, we talk about the little angels flying around us, sparing us from the evil and the hurt and the pain. Sometimes those are the angels just keeping us away from toxic influences we don't really need in our businesses anyway. And the reality is, attract and repel marketing is a reality.
Absolutely.
So, in your experience with all the products you've been involved in launching, you've developed over 30 products, you've done 40 Kindle books, you've bought and sold companies with as many as 120 employees, you have products out right now that you're in the process of launching, what are some of the best products in terms of quality and launch success that you've seen? In other words, what are some of the success stories that we may want to study?
This may sound biased, but my boyfriend has a product called AdsQuest, which I think is absolutely sensational. He has created so many millionaires. I go to seminars and people tell me, oh my gosh, God, like, saved my life. I've heard of people who just, like, one guy was able to get his family out of a third world country with all the money he made from what Don taught. And I think the reason why he does so well is because, I mean, he'll give away. So his thing that he teaches, among other things, one of the things is, use ads to promote different T-shirts, and then you can basically, like, make money really quickly selling T-shirts. And then he also teaches how to do other things, like events and all kinds of things. But the T-shirts have been the things he's most well-known for. And he will do case studies all the time. It's like, oh, I entered the pit bull market. I entered the gun market, whatever it is, and I'll give away his niches. And people will go and they'll copy him and all this stuff, but he's just so forthcoming about everything that he does that he builds up so much trust. People are able to get results because what he's doing is actively working, and they just are falling over themselves to buy his products because he just leads with so much generosity. So, for sure, him.
Okay. That's absolutely fantastic. Now, once the launch is over, because we have seen so many products that get launched and never hear from them again, how do you keep the product selling, especially if you want it to be more of a passive and evergreen revenue generator so you can focus your attentions on other areas of your business or have the space in your day to go for a walk while you appear on the Business Creators Radio Show?
I think a big thing is a lot of people will push funds and they'll forget about it. And instead, I would pre-schedule posts on social media where you're mentioning it over and over again consistently. So you keep mentioning it. When you have blog posts, reference your old programs, include it in PSs. Just keep it top of mind for people. When you're in podcast interviews, mention when the product makes sense, like bring it up. So just keep talking about it. I also would love having a like on my blog, for example, I have a product page, and that's actually the second most visited page on my blog other than the actual RachelRaffay.com. People always go over to products. So if you're consistently putting out great content and then you have the products page, people can find it there too. So just keep making it top of mind, really.
Okay. What about evergreen launch formulas? Because we see some of those. Have you seen that work effectively? It's something that we're experimenting with right now, actually, and our listeners on the Business Creators Radio Show know that not only am I the host, but I'm also one of the students with my notepad out taking notes looking for that slight edge. I think it's very attractive, the idea that you could put your product launch sequence basically on autopilot and keep rerunning it.
Oh, yeah. So I've done that a little bit. Usually I have my products just available, so I have a launch period where there's special pricing, and then they're available whenever people want to buy them. Just because I personally am not a fan of doing anything that's going to create any stress in my life. So right. Just having things that are just regular. I mean, sure, you can do the evergreen thing. I've seen other people do it, and it can work well, especially if you start to automate it and you have things in advance, like you don't need to change the copy or you don't need to change the emails, and you're getting a new consistent lead flow in, or it's not going to annoy your existing audience. Like, awesome, sure. I mean, did you have a specific question about it?
Well, I have a couple of specific questions, actually, and I've been having these back and forth in some discussion groups that I participate in and testing some things with some of my clients. What about webinars that are pre-recorded versus truly live? I have seen some folks take a very firm stand and say it doesn't matter whether you're actually doing it live right this minute or whether it was pre-recorded and scheduled. It's still going to convert the same way because you're still giving the incredible value and you're still going through your sales stack to promote your product or your course. And there are others who say, well, people can tell that that's not really live and they're going to kind of tune out and you're kind of wasting your time and you really just need to suck it up and do your webinar live every week.
Yeah, well, I do think that the live webinars tend to convert a little bit better. Not only, sometimes you can absolutely fake it and people don't know that it's a pre-recorded webinar. But I think that sometimes people have specific questions. And so when you can say, like, Susie has this question, then they feel like they're being personally addressed, which they are. And so they're going to feel better about it. So I think that it does convert a little bit better. If you want to create more ease in your life, then by all means, go for the pre-recorded webinars. But I don't advocate lying to people. I don't think you need to.
Right, right. And just for our listeners here, I'll share something here is that if you have a pre-recorded webinar, it's all about how you use terminology. For instance, if you call it live and they look at your webinar room and they can instantly tell it's the Evergreen Business System or the Stealth Seminar, they may call you on that and say, why are you calling this a live webinar when we know full well what technology you're using because I use it myself? Then you just kind of blew it right there. However, it doesn't have to be live to be scheduled.
Yep.
That's a key semantic difference right there, live versus scheduled, and that's something that I teach people all the time. So basically what you're telling us is it is partially a matter of perception. Because I've been on tons of webinars, and I knew those things were pre-recorded either yesterday or last month or in some cases even last year, and I still stayed, and sometimes I still bought.
I mean, yeah, if you're giving great content that people can benefit from, why, like, of course, they still would. Pre-recorded webinars can be great. You know, what you're saying, like, there's just no point in lying. There really isn't, because people will smell that and they'll just want nothing to do with you ever again. It's just not an integrity.
Right, right. I mean, just to give you an example that I share all the time, there was this one webinar that I kept signing up for over and over and over again because I kept missing it. It was this webinar on YouTube marketing. I swear, I signed up for this thing 4 times in a row. And because I'm very familiar with the Evergreen Business System, I knew the person was using the Evergreen webinar, so I knew this thing wasn't live. And when I logged in and when it was time for the webinar to play, they actually used their original raw recording. We even heard him going back and forth with his tech guy for like 30 seconds before they began the official recording to create that additional feeling that it was actually live. But I heard that same back and forth 3 times, and 4 times in a row I signed up for this dagnabbing webinar, and it took me 4 times before I was actually able to show up and watch the whole thing or stay engaged in it because I had other things going on. But I signed up for this thing 4 times. I watched it 4 times. I knew this thing was pre-recorded 4 times. In the end, I did finally buy his course.
So my message
is it is possible, but I want to get your thoughts on that, and it sounds to me like our philosophies on this really aren't too far apart from each other.
There's all kinds of ways you can create ease in your business. I have it where people will sign up for my list, and I have a follow-up message, as I'm sure many of your guests and you do, like, where people just, they get automated emails after they sign up, and so
right.
Tons of products that way, too. Like, so absolutely, you can create it so that you don't have to be stressing all the time.
Right, 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 right. And you can do all kinds of funky things with your funnels. So you can actually embed product launches within your funnels. I mean, if the person's on your list for the first time, what are they going to know? Because if you have this planned out system for doing your evergreen launches, and you work them into a launch sequence. And then if they buy it, then you just move them to another list. You work them up the funnel. I mean, you can get very sophisticated with these things. It doesn't always have to be extremely simple.
Absolutely.
Right. Here's another thing, and one of our listeners on Business Creators Radio Show specifically wanted me to ask you this question because this is something he's working on right now in his business, and he wants to get your thoughts on it. What about, as part of your ongoing conversion funnels or your ongoing launch funnels, finding products on places like ClickBank or JVZoo and integrating those into your own sales formula? So let's say somebody buys your product, and then they are shown related products, and it could be, you know, one of these courses on ClickBank or JVZoo or one of these other places. So what are your thoughts on using that strategy, whether you make these recommendations immediately or should you time them a certain way? What are your thoughts on integrating that form of revenue stream into what you're doing with your existing subscribers and customers?
I think it's great. I mean, I've actually had a meditation site which was, so I did a little bit differently than this person's saying, and we'll go over his specific question in a second, but the way that I did it was I had a free opt-in gift that people could sign up for, and then I just had an autoresponder series of, you know, first, the first email was basically, glad you got your gift, here it is. Second email was, oh, what'd you think about it? Let me know. P.S., if you're interested in this, I found this resource that I think would be really helpful. And then the third email was more direct about the resource, and then we had a couple of different emails, but I did that across a bunch of different niches to see which niches were even viable, because if people were buying products in that niche, then I knew that it would be worth my time to go and create my own product. So that's one way you could do it. The other way, yeah, absolutely, after people buy your product, as long as you're recommending products that are, like, phenomenal products that aren't going to make you look bad for promoting them, sure, and I would probably have at least one or two emails where you just thank people for their purchase and gave them more content and just really, like, good value. And then, of course, like, in a lot of cases, you're offering them a service to let them know about other products that would make their life easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I really appreciate you sharing with us some of these formulas and some of these things to think about when it comes to looking at other products out there. Because we've been talking for the past 50-some minutes, and I know we're near the top of the hour already, about creating your own products that sell. But just look out there and see that maybe you create a product, and then maybe there's a related product out there that you can add on afterwards. So why not leverage what has already been done before you? And I saw how you did that in your own business where you found related products and you just leveraged that onto your launches that you were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fantastic, and I think you've given us a ton of great information here. So for those of us who are, you know, just tuning in here, I know we're getting near the top of the hour, but once again, we have Rachel Rofay, who is sharing with us creating products that sell. And this has been one of the really great episodes of Business Creators Radio Show. I know we've covered a lot of material. We've been moving extremely fast, and I encourage everybody to go back to iTunes and listen to it again, because Rachel is just basically fire hoses with a ton of information on creating products that sell. This has been really great. Thank you so much for being here with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. So we have just about 2 minutes left here, and what I want to do is I want to turn the floor over to you, and as we wrap up, just let me give you an opportunity to tell us how you serve business creators and how our listeners can get more information from you regarding this topic.
Sure. Well, thank you. So basically, I help people just get seen more in their business. So if they want to get more exposure, I teach about all kinds of things like podcasting and writing books to get tons of traffic, sometimes outsourcing to create just an easier life. So I have different things because I've been around for such a long time, but that's all available on rachelrofay.com. So R-A-C-H-E-L-R-O-F as in flamingo, E.com. My products. I also have a podcast called A Better Life, and that's just twice a week content on different things that help people make their lives better.
Wow, that's fantastic, and thank you for sharing with us. And I also want to remind all of our listeners that all of our guest experts, including Rachel Rofay, have profiles at businesscreatorsradioshow.com, where you can see their biographies, you can see links to their websites and their social media, and for all the episodes for which that guest expert has appeared, you can see them lined up right underneath. This is our first time having Rachel, but I'm sure we're going to have her back again because we were discussing a variety of different topics, and I'm sure you're going to see Rachel back here in a few months if you're willing to come back.
Sure.
Absolutely. So let me just ask you, Rachel, has this been a great way to spend your hour going out for your walk?
It's been great. And you know, I have a Fitbit, and I beat my 10,000 steps while we were talking, so I'm happy.
Isn't it great how the time flies? And this is the reason why we offer the Business Creators Radio Show on iTunes, because I know people love to download it. So, again, Rachel Rofe, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, a pleasure.